Luke chapter 24, starting there in verse 46. Verse 46. I want to talk this morning some more on the Great Commission, as it's often called, or God's great commandment that the Lord Jesus Christ left for us before he went to be with the Father in heaven. And we read there in Luke chapter 24, verse 46, that Jesus said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." Verse 47, "And that repentance and remission of sins shall be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And then notice verse 48, "And ye are witnesses of these things." Let's bow in prayer together. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And dear Lord, I pray that you would just help us to take away the distractions and burdens of the week. Lord, that you would just take away the weariness of the flesh. Lord, and you just truly help us in our hearts to focus upon you and worship. And Lord, that you would open up our minds, Lord, to receive your word and be helped and equipped and encouraged by it, Father. Lord, I pray you to you'd give us now your understanding here. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Many times people will quote the last words of important figures, of famous individuals, and make it kind of a focal point of what their life or their work was about, or put some special significance upon those last words. And when we would look at some of the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's of course after he died on the cross, he gave his life willingly for our sins, he was buried, he rose again the third day, and then just shortly here before he ascends to heaven to be with the Father, and then of course he continues to work through his Holy Ghost and through the apostles in the early church there here on earth. And if we would look at some of those last words, though, those parting words, if you will, that he gave to us, it would be this. It would be the commandment to go and be witnesses. Now, I find it's interesting here how he says this. He doesn't say, you know, you can be witnesses or you will become witnesses, you know, when you work hard enough and you learn everything, you're somehow being, you know, zapped in a special way. He doesn't say any of that. He says, you are witnesses. Now, you may say, well, this is, you know, in the context to the actual individuals who saw the resurrection of Jesus Christ and so forth, right? And certainly that is true. But we see all throughout the scripture, folks, that the Lord Jesus Christ calls each and every person, each and every individual who is saved. Are you saved here this morning? Amen? And praise the Lord for that, because it's all by what... only by what Jesus did for you. Amen? And so, if you are saved, you've experienced the salvation of Jesus Christ, his forgiveness of your sins, well, then you have something to witness to others. You have a witness to someone who's experienced something and can tell others about it. Amen? That's what it is about. And you are witnesses of these things. And so, we're reminded so many times, even when we fail to speak up and share the gospel, when we do get opportunities, or even if we, you know, if we fall and we mess up and we do not have a life, a testimony that would match up with the gospel witness, well, we are a witness in that sense, nevertheless. Just not a faithful one, not one that would match up with the message, unfortunately. Now, thankfully, the Lord, of course, is ever so merciful and forgives and raises us up every time that a child of his falls. And praise the Lord for that, amen? If he wouldn't be like that, none of us would make it through 1 week of being a Christian. But at the same time, though, he wants to teach us and encourage us as how to be a witness of the risen Lord And so, once again, just like in the Gospel of Matthew, as we saw last week, just like in the Gospel of Mark, we see here in the Gospel of Luke, once again, the Lord's call for us to be a testimony of the gospel. I found something that nothing else in this world could give me, and it's in the person of Jesus Christ. That's a peace in my heart. That's forgiveness of all my guilt. That is a firm hope, an assurance that there's more than just, eat, sleep, work, and repeat, so to speak, in this life. No, I have a life that even goes beyond my physical death. Now that's a message as good, if not quite frankly, much better than, as if he'd found the cure for cancer, so to speak. Sin is deadly, after all. And thank God that Jesus Christ conquered it. And we see here, of course, there starting out in verse 46, that first it is important to recognize that Jesus had to suffer. It says there it said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." So Jesus Christ had to sacrifice himself because there was no other way for sinners to be saved. Christianity is not what I do for God, but what God has done for me in Christ. Amen? Christianity is not what I do for God, but what God has done for me in Christ. And so we ought to never lose that out of focus. That's the difference between the biblical gospel and basically any and all religions, Christians or otherwise. Religion is always about a man doing something for God or reaching up to some sort of a enlightenment or level or whatever else of life. Whereas the gospel of Jesus Christ is basically the opposite. It is what God in Jesus Christ has done for us. Amen? And all we can do is humble ourselves in, as it says, your repentance and in faith, and forgive that remission, that forgiveness of sins. We also see, though, that each believer is responsible, is called to be a participant in the Lord's work of sharing the gospel around this world. And folks, it's been so exciting just even this past week to hear many different testimonies of individuals who've been encouraged to give out the gospel, and so wonderful, so exciting to see that, and some of the responses, and once again, as we talked about last week, I want to encourage us. You and I do not do the saving, right? No. Who saves? Well, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus, and so that's who we can trust with the results. That's where we can leave that. Amen. Now, we ought to do our uttermost best, amen, to love people, to love any and all sinners just like Christ does, to be as clear of a witness, to be as clean as a testimony. But at the same time, it is only God who can change and convert the heart. So that's where we need to pray, and that's where we need to be willing to be laborers in the harvest. But at the end of the day, it is God that giveth the increase, Paul said, amen. And so the result of the harvest is up to the Lord. And that's so freeing, folks, because if you or I focus on the results, and we've probably all done it at some point or another as Christians, it gets very quickly discouraging, and we're distracted, really. We ought to keep our eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, amen? Not on how people react, whether it's praise or whether it's criticism, whether it is the scorn and mockery of the Word of God. That shouldn't shake us in our faith at all. We just need to follow what Jesus called us to be and to do. And the Lord will take care of the converting. Amen? Now let's move on to our next passage in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, as we continue in our discipleship series. Who'd like to read Acts chapter 1, verse 8 for us this morning, please? Sure, thank you, brother. Go ahead.
Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth."
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. This verse is very encouraging, to be honest, isn't it? Because, you know, I don't know about you, but I always need more of God's power. you know, being a witness can be intimidating. Now, we ought to, you know, as somebody so fittingly said, you know, courage is not the absence of fear, it's the overcoming of it, right? and doing what is right anyways. So at the same time, we ought to always look for God to give us his power that we need to be the witnesses there. And that is what gives us the boldness. Now, boldness, in a biblical sense, is not, you know, how we would maybe use it today. It's like, well, that's a bit bold, man, you know, or you know, just brash or whatever. No, boldness, it's commonly used throughout the scriptures, is talking about a confidence. And so when we rely upon God to give us the power that we need to be his witnesses, then where's our confidence? It is in him, amen? It's not in me being the witness and, you know, my people skills or the verses I memorized. It is not in how they respond. No, my confidence and the power comes from the Lord, amen? And so the more Holy Spirit controlled I am, the more natural it will also be for me to be a witness, amen? Notice here we see how the power of God to be a witness, in particular in this context here, and the Holy Spirit are clearly connected. Now, of course, the Holy Spirit came once at the day of Pentecost and empowered the church and has been doing so ever since. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. Because the fact of the matter is, we have so much power in ourselves that actually we can do nothing of spiritual value, of eternal value, and especially in converting a soul, we can do nothing without the Holy Spirit and without the power of God. Ephesians chapter 1, there are verses 12 to 14. Who would have that this morning? Oh, sure. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Oh, I love these verses. And there's so much in it. We could literally keep the entire rest of the lesson on that, to be honest. So, you know, I encourage you to look and meditate upon this further yourself. But one thing we have to remember is that we are once and eternally indwelled and sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And we see it clearly when that happens, the moment that you trust in the gospel, the moment that you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. But as we walk with the Lord in our relationship each and every day, how much we're controlled and empowered by the Holy Spirit depends upon our fellowship with the Lord. Upon our fellowship with the Lord. And I thought about, well, you know, this whole word fellowship is not really a common word that we use that much outside of maybe the Bible context, right? And I thought maybe the another way we could describe this whole idea of having, being in fellowship with the Lord is maybe the idea of friendship. Now, it's kind of more than that, but maybe it would give us a little bit of a more of an idea. How we need to have this intimate, this close-knit friendship with our Savior. And so that's where the idea of a relationship with the Lord is you know, maybe more than just that religious perception that we often have, you know, read your Bible, pray every day. It's actually a friendship. It's a relationship. Amen? Folks, my walk with the Lord fundamentally changed the day when I realized that Jesus is actually a person. You see, well, that's kind of obvious. Well, you know, I must have missed it at some point because we treat, well, seeing that we receive God by faith, we don't see him physically yet. It's so easy to treat God more like a concept almost, right? like this religious spiritual idea out there. But you know what? He's our friend. What a friend we have in Jesus, amen? And so we ought, you know, how good of a friend am I back to the Savior, amen? How close is my friendship this morning? Or as I often call it as well, my love relationship, spiritually speaking, with the Lord Jesus Christ. So, of course, this is what prayer, this is what spending daily time in the Word of God is about. And you know, that's why we want to encourage one another in our devotional life, you know. That's why we have these devotional booklets out and really want to encourage you. Even if you get off of that for a little, always just keep setting the reset button, amen? It's always good to restart again. Or your Bible reading plan. And want to encourage us in that. When we pray, folks, we acknowledge our need to the Lord. And we tell Him that we need His help. And so that's why I think it's exceedingly important that anytime we plan to go and share the gospel with someone, it's so important that we prayed up, amen? That we sought the Lord's help, because without Him, we can do nothing. I also find this interesting here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, as we go back there, the Lord makes His mission of being a witness the church's chief business. Besides the fact, of course, as always in everything in our life, giving glory to the Lord and of worshiping Him collectively whenever we get together as the family of God, as a local church, we see that this is what the church was all about all throughout the book of Acts, giving out that gospel to others. They weren't involved in all sorts of grand schemes to try each and every socio and political economic problems in the Roman society, even though, of course, they're very charitable, to be sure. But always, in everything that they were involved in, the preaching of the gospel and the discipling of believers and the establishing of new churches was always the focus, amen? And the strengthening of the churches that were established. I want to read a couple of verses in Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, beginning there in verse 20. Verse 29. So many times, if you're like me or like probably the majority of Christians, at least at first in our flesh, we may struggle a little bit. It's like, oh man, how are they going to react? Oh, are they going to chew my head off? You know, it's like, oh, you know, maybe they won't like it. I don't know what to say, right? And at the same time, we have the burning desire in us. Now, as the apostle said, actually, let's go to verse 20. As the apostles say there, well, I cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard, amen? Jesus is just too good to keep for myself. And so that's where we see the disciples had a little bit that same struggle at times, so to speak. And so there in verse 29, we see how they found a solution for that. Guess what? They prayed. They acknowledged their need before the Lord, and they asked the Lord through His Spirit to empower them, to help them, amen, and to give them that boldness, that courage, that confidence to give out that gospel, amen, and to not stop, even when people rejected them, even when people told them to stop, amen. Acts 4, verse 29 there, they're praying, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. And you know what? God answered that prayer. God had already given them boldness. Matter of fact, in just a few verses before this prayer, we see in verse 13 how the world was stunned by that boldness of these uneducated fishermen, so to speak, that nevertheless were able to give such a clear and such a powerful testimony by the help of God of the risen Savior. Notice then verse 13 in Acts 4. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. That is encouraging. You know, they really didn't have any fancy degrees. They didn't have, you know, they hadn't, you know, read hundreds of books. Even though it's good and important to read books. In fact, it's vital to read good books. And especially God's book, amen. But they didn't have all of that here. They were perceived as uneducated, as unlearned and ignorant fishers, so to speak. And yet, you know what? That didn't stop them from being a witness. As a matter of fact, people were rather so much the more stunned by their confidence and their courage, their boldness, as it says here, to be a witness for Christ nevertheless. But notice what they did have going for them, though. As we continue then, verse 13. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Folks, we cannot have boldness to witness, and we cannot have God's power in witnessing if we first haven't been with Jesus. Amen? That's where we learn His heart. That's why we learn how to see even the most rejected among men with the eyes of compassion and love, as the Lord does. Amen? Have I been with Jesus? Really, there's nothing more important and nothing more fundamentally necessary in preparation for being a gospel witness than that. Have I been with Jesus? Notice also, when we see in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 there, their job, their calling became to lift up Jesus Christ. When we talk to people about the things of God, we need to make sure that we talk about Christ, not about Christianity or any of these other matters that the people get all so frazzled about. No, our focus is upon the risen Savior who died for their sins. Our focus is upon Jesus Christ who needs to save them. Amen? And so that'll help us too. You know, there's no shame in saying, well, you know what, I haven't looked at the verse that you're asking me about, and, you know, I don't know this contradiction or this deep theological question you're confronting me with. But you know what? I'd be glad to look at it and come back to you and find out the answers. But you know, the fact of the matter, though, is right now, I think really, I just want to make sure that you do know, though, that God loves you. As a matter of fact, He loves you so much that Jesus died for you. And here's why He needed to die for you. There's that sin debt that we all carry, and that separation from God, and that end destiny of that is the fires of hell. And God loves you, and He wants to forgive your sin, set you free, and He wants to save you from judgment. And always bring it back to that. Amen? It's good stuff. We don't need to move on. We see the spread here. We see the spread here of the Great Commission. As we go back to Acts 1, verse 8. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. That was, of course, their immediate area, their neighborhood, their hometown, so to speak. And in all Judea, that was the surrounding area. That would be maybe like Greater Victoria, if you will, so to speak. Let's say, you know, if you live in View Royal or Langford or Squamish or whatever. That may be your direct Jerusalem, and then you spread out over the entire area, maybe. Then moves on to Samaria. Is it? What is that noise? Is that outside or inside? Outside. All right. Okay. Well, just close the doors and move on. Amen. The gospel is too important, and we want to share it. And then we move on to Samaria. You know, that must have been quite interesting for these Jewish disciples because they weren't really big fans of the Samaritans. They had a lot of religious, false religious pride and a lot of prejudices. And you know, I don't know if you could maybe compare that to bring that to the poor lost souls out there on the lower mainland, you know, in Vancouver. of course, I'm teasing, you know. Victoria's way better. No, Victoria's way better. No, it isn't. The Lord is good. But you get my drift, right? And maybe rather especially to those people that maybe we would naturally want to reach the least. The Lord reached out to every soul that was willing to admit their need. Amen? But all teasing aside, notice though, the call is very clear, even unto the uttermost part of the earth. Every corner of this globe needs to hear the gospel. That's how good that message is, amen? And now, of course, we can't always do that ourselves, even though I do believe that God is definitely always wanting to call some of us in our midst to bring the gospel to another place as well. And God wants us to be willing to submit to that His call to do that. But those who are going, they always need those who are supporting them in prayer, who are holding that other end of the rope, so to speak, as they go into all sorts of dark places around the globe and bring the light of Christ. And we need to support them financially so they're able to go and freely share the gospel there. And so that's all part of that Great Commission. That's why we're involved in missions. Amen. That's why we have our faith promise giving program and so forth. But then I want to close this morning with just a few pointers. We may not get through all of them, but that'll help us on how do I get ready? How do I get equipped and set up, so to speak, for sharing the gospel? You know, there's a number of verses that, of course, always help. Lord willing, I may give some of those out, and you may be familiar with those in Romans chapter 3 or chapter 6 and so forth, in John chapter 3, or you may not be, and it would be good for us to maybe memorize them together, amen? But I think one thing we need to realize is that so many times we may have to, as Paul did there in that pagan city of Athens, we may have to bring people first always back to who's even our God. And you know, we describe Him as the God of our Bible, but ultimately I think, just as Paul did, it is good to refer to Him back as the Creator. You know, people have so many different concepts when they use that phrase God, you know. And we want to make sure we're referring to the same thing and to the right thing, amen, to the actual, the true and the living God. And so let's bring them back to the God of the Bible, who is the one that we proclaim, and to the God who describes Himself as the Creator. And that when we take the Bible and show them the gospel, the wonderful gospel news, it is our prayer that they will be willing to put their faith in that. I think one of the main problems we have in sharing the gospel, that we say, well, the Bible says all men are sinners. The Bible says that everyone who doesn't receive Jesus will go to hell. The Bible says Jesus wants to save you and you need to put your faith in Him. And people say, okay, so what if the Bible says that? What's that to me? The Bible has no authority to them in their eyes. The Bible has no significance in their heart. And so many times, folks, when we share the gospel with people, especially someone who's not really been touched by this much at all, that may be one of the main hurdles that we may first want to cover, right? And encourage their faith in the Word of God. And so whether that is through giving some examples of fulfilled prophecy, for example, through references that we can see in creation, by making reference of what I call that God-sized hole in everybody that only He can fill, right? And the witness of creation, as the book of Romans teaches us, and the witness of the inner conscience, sensitivity that we all have, our compass, so to speak, where really, if we're honest, we would admit that really we do believe that there must be a higher power, so to speak. There must be a Creator God. But we ourselves need to also start out by being surrendered to the Lord. Amen? Once again, it's not by my power, not by my might, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen? That converts the soul. And that's where the prophet Isaiah started out there in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. You know, here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. You say, well, send where? Well, wherever, first of all, your neighbor, as the Lord calls him, is the person in need that you meet throughout your day, that you encounter in your life. And then as God continues to lead, He may send you even other places. But the fact of the matter is, we always start where we're at, right now, right here. And we need to be willing, just as Paul, just as Isaiah, we need to be willing to surrender to the Lord. We've mentioned this already, but once again, we need to be a friend to Christ. We need to be in that close fellowship with Him. If we do not walk with the Lord, that devotional life with Him, we will not have any wisdom, we will not have any power and any guidance from the Lord. Amen? We'll also probably not have much interest in doing His will and in being a witness. Just about anything else will look quite a bit more attractive. So that's where we want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 to just reference a verse of Scripture in regards to that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 7. First Corinthians 3, verse 7, where once again we see our dependency upon the Lord. And why, unless we're walking in fellowship with Him, we really can do nothing. Paul says there, so that neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. It is God who converts the soul. It is God who does the saving work. And now the other person have to be willing, of course. They have to be, as John chapter 1 makes it very clear, to receive Him. And, you know, unfortunately, but truthfully, we do have the opportunity, ability to reject Him too. God wants us to choose to love Him and trust Him as our Savior. But notice there in verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. That's so important to keep in mind, amen? And we have to remind ourselves that we do not work for God. We work with God. And quite frankly, we're primarily just the vessel, so to speak, and He is the one who's doing the work. Amen? You know, what achievement, what accomplishment has the drill or the hammer or the saw? You know, when you see a wonderful piece of furniture, when you see a nice fancy building, you know what I'm saying? It's like, man, what amazing tools. Just tremendous, these staplers and these miters and saw. Wow. No, you say, what a craftsmanship, right? What a skilled a worker who accomplished this, right? And that's the same with the gospel work and the saving of souls as well. It is the Lord's work, and that's why we do need Him. And we can't understate that, amen? And then many times we have to start out and learn by doing. That's what's really helped me. You know, I think probably for the first year or so that I went on a regular basis to give up the gospel, I just hang around people who are doing that, you know, whether it be door-to-door, whether that be, I don't know, in the restaurant or wherever else, given, you know, leaving a tract or in, sharing with a family member or with a co-worker. I just hang around some of my friends who were doing that in the church and just went with them and just learned. And it was after maybe half a year to a year that I only started to do this myself as well more and more. And you know what? Sometimes you fail, you say something you wish you wouldn't have or whatever, and that's fine. You pray it, you leave it with the Lord. But you keep moving forward, you keep doing it. Because, you know, you don't stop using a hammer just because, well, you know, once, 25 years ago, I hit my thumb, so I will never be any good in using a hammer, right? Well, no, you keep using the tool until you get better at it, amen? That's the only way to get better at things usually, right? By doing it, by learning, amen? And, you know, in so many ways, the same is true, and we get better and we learn more by being a witness. And we learn to trust the Holy Spirit as we go out and as we speak, and as we're a testimony through our life, and we learn how to trust the Holy Spirit with their response and with the results, and we'll always be in some way an imperfect messenger. But you know what? We do have a perfect message, don't we? Amen? Yeah. And that message, and most of all our Savior, is worth it sharing it to those who are in need of it. Now, they'll have to make the choice whether they receive it or not, whether they even listen or not. And the Lord is the one who does the work in their life. But you know what? We can be faithful in being the witness that God has called us to be. Amen? And so let's close in prayer this morning. Father, I want to thank you for the encouragement, Lord, from your word. Dear God, truly, all of us, Lord, need to be and can be the witnesses you desire us to be. And Father, we pray that you would do great and mighty things, Lord, for the glory of Jesus Christ and the sake of the gospel through the Capital City Baptist Church family. And Lord, truly, it's all by your work and your grace. And we just trust you, Lord, to do, Lord, what truly we can't do, and that is to save souls. Just help us to be faithful in shining your light and speaking to people about the need of the Lord and your love for them. And we pray all this in Jesus' name.